It is indeed a bright, bright, sunshiny day, John. Thank you, Melanie. That was fabulous. And you're doing the drums, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, don't you just kind of get...
We're auditioning male vocals, though, so...
What did you say?
We're auditioning male vocalists,
thank you. Thank you for sharing, and what a wonderful song on a nice, bright, sunshiny day and moving forward. And I'm talking today on holding a vision and creating it together. The class that's been meeting has been doing some powerful work on visioning and creating prosperity and a prosperity consciousness. And it's been an amazing journey that we've all been on. And I am aware of how that is an ongoing opportunity and journey for all of us. And holding vision and creating things together is not just what we do individually, but also what we do as a larger community, as a spiritual community, out in our world, in our communities, in the workplace, with our families. It is an opportunity to recognize and to lay hold of and utilize the amazing universal laws always present that we can tap into, and that we can move in directions that are for highest and positive good for all. So I want to talk a little bit about spiritual community, because over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, if we look back at whatever we call religious institutions or spiritual communities, and we take a look at the progression of how that has changed in our world, in our society, in the ways that we have shifted from waiting for someone to tell us what to do in order to be good and right and okay. We shifted into a place of taking self-responsibility as individuals and in our world, and an understanding that we all create it together. And over time, the institutions and the structures and the ways in which we've been spiritually fed have changed. Look at our lifestyles now. How many of you feel that your life pace is slower today than it was 10 years ago? Okay. Well, hooray for you. That's awesome. How many of you feel that it's a little more escalated than it was 10 years ago? Okay. And how many of you sometimes feel one way and sometimes feel the other? And there we go. Because while technology brings wonderful things to us and invites us to have new tools to use, it also creates, in using them, it takes some of our time. You know, emails, texting, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all these wonderful things, they connect us in new ways. They also take, you know, some time to participate. Our kids, we never used to have sports on a Sunday. And now kids regularly have meet for their team sports, and parents take them, and sometimes they have 2 and 3 things on a day. And so it's an invitation to recognize it's just time to learn a new way to navigate. Because this is what's so. Our lives have so many more multiple opportunities. And spiritual community itself has changed. We see the differences in not only national but world tendencies and how people come together in spiritual community. You know, people used to attend church or a religious organization 3 to 4 times per month. In other words, most of the time. Because that was the place where they found their social connections, it was one of the most prominent places to touch in spiritually in any way. And then we've evolved because we have things online. We have speakers who are fabulous that we can access at any time. Stuff has shifted and changed. And how wonderful for us that we have access. And the national average now is something like an attendance is about 2.5 times per month. Because people are finding that while there's amazing value in spiritual community, that that there are other things too that help feed and help nurture that place where spiritual community alone used to do. And our millennials are seeking different ways of being in spiritual community or accessing their spirituality. And so what we understand is, of course, we're evolving and changing. It's a natural part of what is so. And it's important for us all in the journey of our life to recognize that things are different. And then to adapt. That's what we do so well as human beings. Yet to understand how important spiritual community is. Because we all have a need to connect. And if we are going to be about creating a oneness in our world, it means coming together even though we may have differences of opinion and challenging things that come up for us. But it is coming together so that we can learn how to walk through those, how to engage with each other, how to walk through them. You know, we can't just pray for our world and our world leaders to have peace when we are not established in it ourselves and learning it and practicing and growing it. I'd like to share a quote with you from Jean Vanier. He was a theologian and a humanitarian. He said, one of the marvelous things about community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way we couldn't as individuals. When we pool our strength and share the work and responsibility, we can welcome many people. And Charlie Chaplin says, the building is a special place. He's referring to a church or a synagogue or a place. So the building is a special place because of its architecture, its design. But it's people who make it special by participating in it. So as we are navigating and looking at what does spiritual community mean to us today? And how do we show up? How are we present to it? How do we participate in it? From scripture in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And it goes on in Ephesians 4:11 to say, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Friends, spiritual community is that place that invites us to come together across differences. It engages us. And it asks of us a commitment from our heart, not a commitment of a should and a have to, but a commitment in the depth of our being that recognizes the value of coming together, of learning from someone else who sees differently, of being willing to expand our horizons. So over the last several years, things have changed a lot in our world. And as we recognize that and participate in it openly and freely, we can begin to see in what ways we can be engaged and in what ways we can participate. And I really appreciate, as we look over the past history of this spiritual community, And there are some of you, I think, here today who could probably even help me on the history. I know some of it. I'll be a little bit brief, but I know this started as a study group. Most of Unity started as a study group. It was Amelia, I can't remember, is that right, Judith? Yeah. She started a study group. And many places around, you know, in the early 1900s and Unity was forming and people started study groups. And then they came together and they held that vision in their heart. Doesn't mean they were all alike. Didn't mean they thought alike in every aspect. But they came together because they had a common vision. And out of that eventually, Unity of Michiana was created this church, this spiritual community, and then they had a location on Burke Street. And then ultimately it was time to shift from Burke Street. And I think there were several kind of things. This was one option. Some people didn't want to move to this. Some people wanted something else. There are also options for a church being built, a brand new church being built. Ultimately, the vision brought people to this place. But it wasn't about this place. It was about the people and the vision that they had. And understanding that when we have that common vision, it calls us to come together and to understand that we indeed are powerful spiritual beings. Focused confidently on a desired vision, we manifest divine results, friends. So in understanding that it is about a focus, the class has been working in this with Mary Morrissey's work that goes back to ancient teachings that understands the laws of the universe. And many of you have heard of Charles Fillmore speaking of the law of mind action. The law of mind action. And then more recently, Abraham Hicks and other people have called it the law of attraction. So that's been a little bit more popular and with the movie The Secret. But see, these things aren't new, people. And they aren't just some hokum. You know, they aren't just something somebody thought up. It is a divine law of our universe that there is limitless source from which we draw through the consciousness of not just our head thinking, but what I call the mind heart. That is the divine soul being within us. That is our connection to what we would call God or what we would call universal spirit. And in engaging in that law of mind action, what we do is we choicefully focus on a vision, on a dream. And in doing so, we do it not once, not twice, but we continue it and we repeat it. The class has been working one of the exercises was to respond quickly, calmly, confidently, leaving no stone unturned as we go forward, carrying that vision and knowing that, you know, our minds are going to do all kinds of stuff, don't they? They have chatter of that's not possible. And how am I going to do that? And, oh, you know, the outer stuff doesn't look like it will support a limitless vision. And yet the only thing that's stopping it is those old beliefs. Because source, the universe, think of the vastness of the universe. And we have all of that as divine source to call upon in our visioning forward for what we hold in our hearts. Jack Canfield, many of you know from Chicken Soup for the Soul. He's a best-selling author and a national motivational speaker. He said, people who ask confidently get more than those who are hesitant and uncertain. When you've figured out what you want to ask for, do it with certainty, boldness, and confidence. So the group in class has been practicing that over the last 8 weeks, 8 and a half now, in doing exercises. You know, and not just talking about something, but literally visioning, taking a look at asking the question or putting forth the desire with clarity in order to continue to be able to focus upon it and not think, oh, I have to do it, but to trust the activity of spirit to guide steps forward in that direction into fruition. So Abraham Hicks, who most of you know from a lot of their books on the law of attraction, says, within the seed of your desire is everything necessary for it to blossom to fulfillment. In the seed of that desire. And the law of attraction is the engine that does the work. Your work is just to give it a fertile growing place in order to expand. See, in other words, we focus on that. We plant that seed through the consciousness of our thoughts, And then we allow that which is universal law to draw that same similar vibration that we are holding resonant. It draws it to us. Mike Fotheringham went on to say, set your intention and trust the universe to take care of the details. Charles Fillmore has said, faith working in spiritual substance accomplishes all things. This is the faith that cooperates with creative law. He's talking about the same thing here, the law of mind action. When faith is exercised deep in spiritual consciousness, it finds its abode. It finds its abode. In other words, it connects. It recognizes that which is true. And under divine law, without variation or disappointment, it brings results that are seeming miraculous. Again, Charles Fillmore from Revealing Word. Friends, when we take a look at holding a vision and creating it, there's some powerful opportunity and possibility in that, in our own personal lives, individually, as a spiritual community, as a nation, as a whole planet. And we are invited to begin to practice as the group is doing in the class, because we're breaking down belief systems. You know, we're breaking down the belief systems that think we can't have, and we look to the outer world and think there's never going to be enough, or that people will always fight with each other, or you know, whatever is still resonant within us, and that stuff will come up. And yet what we discover is that when we practice confidently holding on to that seed, that idea, as has been said, divine universal law begins to work and to bring that forth. So as we take a look at creating together, we can understand, I mean, in our own lives, there's great power as we center in prayer and we connect. And yet, friends, oh my gosh, you know, when we come together to hold a vision, when we are willing to align in a positive direction and say, wow, what a difference we can make. In scripture from Matthew 18, 19 through 20, it says, again, I assuredly say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered or more, there is a magnification of the intention, of the vision, of moving concertedly together for our highest good. And from Matthew, it's 21, verse 22, it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And in Mark 10, 27, it says, looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And it was hard to cut it down to just three sections of scripture that I wanted to share, because it is present in the Bible everywhere, because it speaks of truth principles. That which we gather together and focus on, we manifest and we create. Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. And how many of you are old enough to remember Babe Ruth? Okay. He said, the way a team plays as a whole determines its success. You may have the greatest bunch of individual stars, of which he was one. You may have a bunch of individual stars in the world, but if they don't play together, the club, the baseball club, won't be worth a dime. Friends, as we engage in creating a vision together, as we understand the importance of spiritual community, is that we do come together to make a difference in our world, and we work in our own personal lives, and that there's that desire in us to make a difference in our world as well. And it calls us into an understanding that that as individuals, we're different. We have different points of view. And we often think that there's one point of view, and it's the right point of view. Especially in politics, right? Politics and religion. Boy, yeah. I was at the United Religious Communities prayer breakfast on National Prayer Day on Thursday morning. And the speaker there was speaking about the fact that, you know, across our world, the challenges, because there are different religious groups, there are different other types of groups who all stand in opposing beliefs and who feel they are right. So how do you have world peace? And it's a challenge, though, to understand that we can hold things in contradiction and still come together. And as the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name. Because ultimately what we want is a home, is food, is loving relationships, is a positive place to be. And that's what we can all work towards. So that we know that maybe our ideas are differing, but there's amazing power when we come together. When we join as one with that clearly defined and directed vision in going forward. And sometimes clearly defined simply means defining it by what we want to feel, what we want to experience. Sometimes it doesn't involve necessarily a picture, it might. But ultimately, it's what we want overall. And we have the opportunity, friends, to create that together. Because we are a powerful spiritual community of people who sincerely desire to learn and to grow and to walk differently in our world. Yes, dear. Okay. Okay. So this isn't a time for a political conversation, but it is a recognition, again, that is a point of view. And there are many political points of view that are present in our world. There, and to understand that there isn't a right and a wrong way, though it seems that way in a moment. And over time, there have been many things that have happened in my life, and I thought, oh my gosh, I blew that, or I made a mistake, or I went in the wrong direction, and yet ultimately, continuing to walk forward, I discover everything is in its right order. It may not have looked initially like I would have wanted or expected it to look. And my opportunity, our opportunity, is to focus not on what we consider to be wrong in our world or in our lives, but to instead keep our attention and our focus on what we want to create, friends, because that's the power of the law of attraction. That's the power that we hold and wield. To keep our thoughts on what it is we want to create and not to keep becoming embroiled in the things that would distract us from that. That is ours to do. That's our exercise to participate in. And yes, there are circumstances and things in our world, and I'm not saying that we hide or we put our heads in the sand. I am saying, though, that what we focus on through universal ancient spiritual laws of being, through the creation of our whole world, when we focus on those for positive good, we begin to manifest that over time, integrate it. And sometimes it doesn't happen in the next 5 minutes or the next year. However, we are on that trajectory. We are on that trajectory. I started and had the impulse to go into ministry when I was graduating out of high school. It took me until I turned 50 to say yes to that which had been birthing in me. That's kind of a long gestation, huh? A long pregnancy. Whoa. But there were so many aspects of my life along the way that created that knowledge. It gave me skills to have through other avenues that drew me to that point in time when I said yes. And each one of us has those pivotal moments in our lives on an ongoing basis. And so does spiritual community, friends. Spiritual community shifts and changes. It's a natural part. We are not always comfortable with that, but it is a natural part of what is, because otherwise we stagnate. And when we can come together knowing that what we choose to be about is to come together in a way that's positive, to focus, to create a place to be together that's warm, inviting, embracing, spiritually uplifting, that has music like we have. Oh man, what a blessing. And when we hold that vision and we know that we're going forward in that direction together, there's no limit to what we can create. So in Nehemiah 2, verse 18b, it says, "Then they said, let us start building. So they committed themselves to the common good." And going on a little farther in Nehemiah 4, 6, it says, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a heart, a mind to work." Friends, this is, you know, our opportunity to recognize that focused confidently on a desired vision, we manifest divine results. We are powerful spiritual beings when we come together. And it's a wonderful thing to celebrate, to experience, to acknowledge individuality. You know, in unity, we kind of talk about, we're sort of like herding cats. Because in how many of you have herded cats or tried to take a cat for a walk? That's, you know, yeah. Because unity inspires individualistic thinking. Not all religions or communities invite that, but over time that has been what has been focused on in an understanding that we go direct to the presence of God within us. And so yes, we are individuals, and yet as we learn to come together to work as one, we are walking an example as Christ did out in our world to demonstrate that for others also. So I will close with two quotes. One is from Henry Ford. I love this. "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." And from Jonathan Lockwood Huey, he says, "Powerful dreams inspire powerful action. When you can taste, smell, and touch your dream, you can enroll the world." Friends, let's enroll all of us here. Let's enroll the world in that vision of a common place of good for all.